Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And welcome to another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast. I believe this is episode 71.
One.
And the Oscar goes to Mike Brennan.
Certainly not Faye Dunaway.
Oops. Those darn duplicate, you know, what they really needed was the amazing Karnak. Remember him?
You know,
he could read right through those envelopes that have been stored in Funkenwagel's
porch.
Now
it explains why Beatty was fumbling around with that envelope, because he was clearly going, this is not the right envelope.
Yeah, this is not right. But he didn't know what else to do. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, we digress. But we have on the, speaking of fun, we have on the line of Vinny, I'm going to get it right, Novacek.
Yes.
Did I nail it, Vinny? All right, good.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, General Sales Manager for Ziegler Auto Group. He handles the Fiat, Alfa Romeo, and Maserati sales. And
Fun brands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday, I was in Grand Rapids and went on a test drive with the new Alfa Romeo. Pronounce it for me. I'm terrible with these pronunciations.
Well, there's the Giulia, and then there's the Giulia Quadrifoglio.
Yeah, well, I think we did them both, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and... It was an interesting drive, to say the least. So, in fact, recorded it. Our friend Steve recorded it on TalkingCars.com.
And, I couldn't believe that Steve fit in the driver's seat and in the back seat. He's 6'5", he said, and 220 pounds?
Yeah, he's a big lad. So,
He got in and out real easily. I mean, I should have videotaped that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one's going to believe me.
Contortionist act.
Vinny's about my size, a little bit taller, and then we had Steve, you know, so...
not as good looking.
True, yes. Good point, yes. So anyway, it was an exhilarating drive. Why don't you talk about that new Alfa Romeo and the return of Alfa Romeo to the United States?
Well, after 23 years of being away and just staying in the European area, Alfa Romeo is a huge vehicle over in Europe. So they decided to come back to the U.S., but they wanted to make sure that the car that they're going to be selling in mass quantity, not the 4C that is like the track car, you know, that very specialty small car for $80,000, they wanted to come out with a perfect vehicle. So they put a bunch of engineers and designed from the ground up something brand new, and boy, did they.
Yeah.
There is not one negative press ad out there on this vehicle that I have been able to find. If anyone does find it, please send it my way. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, and the Giulia, am I pronouncing that right? Giulia, right?
Yep. Giulia is just an amazing car.
And that's more affordable, all things considered. You know, it's probably a little higher end mid-sized car, but it's around 40,000, give or take, if I recall, right?
Yeah, starting at $37,000,
yeah.
And all-wheel drive is $39,000.
Well, and it's not exactly hard these days to take a mid-size or full-size car and load it up with options and have it get close to $40,000. So that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, even, you know, I mean,
yep.
So, but
exactly,
but the Quadrifoglio, which means four-leaf clover in Italian, if I recall, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and that one
sounds like a Who album.
That's
actually
a little bit more expensive, but he was yelling at me. I called it a $90,000 car last week, and I think it's just $82,000, right?
$72,000.
I was way off. Okay,
hey, all right.
Now that's the one that developed 600 horsepower. We jumped on the freeway and we're going. I don't think the state police
actually 505 horsepower, 446 pounds of torque, 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds.
Yeah, we got up to 110. Just comes. No, state police are listening.
You're
right?
On a close track.
Oh, quiet. All right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I was just I'm
professional driver. You know? Do not try this at home. Yes, right.
I am a trained professional.
Yes. I just know I was bracing myself against the dashboard so I wouldn't bounce off it. But those
it was like those scenes in 2001: A Space Odyssey where the guys go in hyperspeed. Yeah,
yeah.
Right? With just like faces.
In fact,
yeah, right.
I was seeing the light like that coming at me. You know, so.
I think he was freaking out because he only had two fingers on the steering wheel, and he's like, "Oh my goodness! Well, the car handles that well."
No, and then I even drove it, but that was a rush. So, now I also wanted to talk about some of the points you were making when we were discussing things last week. And one of the things you mentioned to me was there's a big difference in selling in Michigan with all the automotive manufacturers versus other states. Having to do with employee discounts. We didn't get into that, so why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that.
Well, basically in Michigan, somebody somehow, some way is related to someone that works at the big three. Obviously, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, Fiat, that's part of the FCA group. So if they're a Chrysler Dodge employee, they're entitled to an EP pricing, which right on the invoice, it's a one set price. It's very easy, but they have to have the confirmation code that goes along with it. So it makes buying a car come down to one simple thing, customer service. Because if I have the car and someone else has the exact same car, it's the exact same price. It's all going to come down to taking care of the customer the best way possible.
Okay. The other thing you mentioned, you gave me some points that you wanted to talk about, is the change in the way automotive sales are, say, compared to 2, 5, or even 10 years ago. What has changed?
Well, basically, obviously, in the 90s, we had the internet come out, and people just thought that was a story. Now, everyone Googles or goes online. 90% of every customer goes online, does their information, finds out exactly what they want before they even step foot into the dealership. So when they're online and they request some information, they don't want it tomorrow or the next day. They want it in 10 to 15 minutes. That's what's totally different. Everything is right now. No games. There's no guessing. There's no ranges. It's this is the exact information. This is what I have. This is what I can get. And this is by what time I can get it for you. You know, back at 5 years ago, it was a little bit more of you come in, you test drive 4 or 5 cars, you try and figure something out that works for you. Maybe the price works, maybe it doesn't. Trade in values and all, everything's right online now.
And
let me jump in here. Yeah. Is the information people get online, is that mostly accurate? I mean, is that good information that people are getting online? Do they come? I know people come armed to the dealership with more information these days, but is it accurate?
Yes,
that's an excellent point there. And to tell you the truth, the big thing that is really different is trade in or what their car is worth, because what most people are looking at is a Kelley Blue Book or NADA function. Or looking online what people are asking for their cars. Those aren't the prices that are actually being sold it. You know, if you see a vehicle online for 17 grand, you go to the dealership, what do you end up trying to do? Get a better price. So sometimes that is the bottom line, but majority of the time, you know, there's wiggle room in there to be able to customize what the customer needs or has done, or maybe they have negative equity, however that may be. But what dealers really look at is what are they selling through at the auction today? So I can punch in the VIN number of the vehicle, pull up over the last 6 weeks, identical vehicles to what the customer has. The only difference is going to be not just the mileage, because you can sort of compare on that, but it's condition. Did you smoke in it? Has the car been in an accident? Is the car all scratched up? Are there holes in the seats? You know, those types of things. Did they change the tires where that needs to get done? Is there a chip in the windshield and they don't have coverage? All these little things that can nickel and dime that, you know, everyone says, my car is in great shape. Well, I tell you one thing.
They can't all be in great shape.
There are some customers that think that their car is in great shape, and it surprises me. But then there's other cars that I could drive right on the showroom floor and not have to do anything to.
Getting back to the internet searches, one of the questions I wanted to ask is, when folks walk into the showroom, what percentage would you say have done their internet searches and, you know, got the car all specced out, priced out, or whatever, versus the way it was 5 years ago? I mean, is it almost everybody? Does some? How would you describe it?
Yeah, your 90 to 95% of these customers are already ready to negotiate with you. They know what the price should be. They know where it is. Unfortunately, what they don't take into account is supply and demand. You know, for some of the vehicles, give you a prime example on the Julia and the Julia TI. I don't care. I'm going to do what I can to get that price down to fit that person's budget. On the Quadrifoglio right now, I mean, I'm selling these things right at MSRP. I have people offering me over MSRP, and Ziegler's not one to take money over MSRP. I mean, we believe in the code of when they say that this is what the car is worth, that's what it's worth. you know, we don't want to, you know, I'm going to say screw my customer, but we don't want them to come back in 2-3 years and be so far upside down. Nobody's in a win-win situation at that point. We want to take care of everybody and get them the vehicle they want. But supply and demand obviously will dictate on what we can discount and what we can't.
All right. So this is a tech show. So we want to ask a couple of these kinds of questions too. And we have about 3 minutes left.
Sure.
How has the internet changed customer expectations? I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, but you know, can you expand on it a bit?
I can. I've worked with Lexus, obviously BMW. So these types of customers, they demand it all. And when they buy a car, you try and be above that bar. So you go above and beyond. Well, now they're used to that above and beyond. So now it's, what can you do again to exceed my expectations? So we always have to do something to try and make sure that customer is surprised, delighted, and happy, and that they feel very, very comfortable with what's going on. And you have to be able to trust each other and build a great relationship. And that's really the secret.
Okay.
Speaking of technology, as I lean into the microphone, the super performance from the new twin turbos, the 6 cylinders, 4 cylinders. I mean, talk about all that. I've been looking at vehicles and everyone's really pushing the twin turbos now, and I've never been a big turbo kind of guy. Should I be?
You should be, because the technology now with these vehicles used to be back in the 80s where they had the turbo and the exhaust, and basically they weren't cooled down like they were supposed to. They weren't oiled like they were supposed to, so they'd blow out. Nowadays, they have these twin turbos that have intercoolers, that have direct oil injection. So these things don't wear out. The nice thing about it is it does not have the turbo lag that those other vehicles used to have. So you have instant power. The one vehicle that you and I were talking about, obviously the Giulia, it's a 4-cylinder 2-liter with 280 horsepower or 306 pounds of torque.
Wow.
That's more power than the BMW 330, the A4, and the C300, let alone the CLA 250. These cars are absolutely amazing. I mean, look at Ford, the new GT. What is it, 606 horsepower out of a V6 EcoBoost?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Now, the one downside on turbos is you have to use premium gas, right?
Mid-grade to premium. I wouldn't use the cheap, but I think if you were to use the mid-grade, you'd be fine. And that's pretty much what most people do anyways, because they want to take care of these vehicles. Used to be that 100,000 miles, you know, the cars wore out. These cars are getting 150 to 200,000 miles now. So you want to take care of them and you want to maintain them as best as possible.
All right. So if people want more information about the Ziegler Automotive Group, please tell us where to go online.
Best way to get there is Ziegler.com. That's Z-E-I-G-L-E-R. It's a wonderful site. It has all 34 of our dealerships. So I guarantee you there's one near you. Find out exactly what you're looking for. Narrow it down. We also have every single used vehicle throughout the whole organization on that same website.
Wow.
If we can't find it, it's not out there.
Hey, and you also have dealerships in Illinois. I know Steve was talking about that last week. You got a big, so you're in, I think, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and Michigan, or maybe I got something wrong there.
Nope, that's absolutely correct. Over in Schaumburg, we have a total of 59 franchises, but we also have one in New York. And then this year, we also purchased the Motorsports down in Kalamazoo, where Mr. Ziegler is actually designing and has built right now 3 professional dirt tracks for motorcycle, side-by-sides, that type of stuff. So if you can't ride them because you live downtown, you can buy it, keep it there, ride it, bring it back. They clean it off, they store it for you, and wait for you to come back again and ride it again.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Vinny Novacek. I got that right again, right?
You did. I really appreciate it.
You know, I've been struggling with these Polish names here, you know. He's with the Ziegler Auto Group, actually in Granville, which is a southern suburb of Grand Rapids. And check it out. That's all I can say. This is Mike Brennan.
And this is Matt Roush.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We'll be back with Kathleen Norton Shock.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. And we've got a longtime friend of ours with us here at for this segment. It is none other than Kathleen Norton Schock, she of many, many hats.
Many hats.
Including the Michigan Council of Women in Technology and Diva Tech Talk and a whole bunch of other stuff. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Nice to hear your voices. I'm sorry I haven't seen you since December. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, to you too.
Well, we had Chinese New Year too, so we can wish you Happy New Year for Chinese New Year. So.
Right, right. The Red Rooster year, right?
Red
Isn't it
rooster.
The year of the rooster?
Fire rooster or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I miss your faces, but hopefully I'll get to see you sometime soon.
All right, so you're going to be talking about what's happening with your most recent podcast, Diva Tech Talk. So why don't you talk about that?
Right, right. Well, Diva Tech Talk has been going strong at the beginning part of the year. Since we last chatted with you all, we had four very exciting podcasts. One of them was a good friend of all of ours, Janet Tyler, who described her career progression. Janet, of course, started out life after college at New Horizons. Was sort of a jack of all trades, quickly built her career into doing lots of things to help build that franchise, then moved over to PR, primarily in the technology field, co-founding Airfoil PR, and then has moved from there. And the key thing here is she's always worked in the Microsoft realm. So she spent a lot of years, of course, building Airfoil along with her good friend and partner, Lisa Valley Smith. And then when she decided it was time to make a move, she moved over to work at Red Level Networks. And Red Level Networks, of course, is a strong Microsoft partner. Today, they just announced another award. They seem to get an award every 3 months, if you ask me. And I'm sure Janet is part of that. But in any case, Bob Tassani and Janet and the guys at David King, the whole team there should be congratulated because just today they announced another award. So that was episode 39. And then right after that, Diva Tech Talk was really privileged because we were able to do a podcast on site at Logicalis, which is a worldwide company. But right here in Michigan, they were sponsoring their Girls in Technology Day, which afforded us the opportunity to interview four separate executives, Renee Johnson and Julie Spiller, who are both VPs with Logicalis. And they did a wonderful job talking about how they were mentoring the girls and how they had an internal mentoring program at Logicalis. Then Ghazal Asif, who was the director of channels at Meraki. And Ghazal is an extremely inspirational speaker. So I do suggest that people look at episode 40 for those three women. And also, we got Vince DeLuca, and he spent a good 15 minutes with us. And for those people who don't know, he is the global CEO for Logicalis, is a father, and is all about mentoring and diversifying, and talked to us a lot about how Logicalis has a very formal program inside. And I'm used to hearing that from, you know, IBM and Oracle and, you know, Facebook. I mean, they all have formal programs. GE just announced a great initiative to hire 20,000 women in IT. I did not anticipate that a company the size of Logicalis, which is slightly smaller than those other companies, has a very formal inside program for diversification and also mentoring of their workforce. So I highly recommend that anybody who wants to hear that goes to our episode 40. And Vince was really marvelous, very down to earth and very accessible. And then right after that, several weeks later, we had a great podcast with Dr. Denise Mahoney. Denise is the head of the pre-apprenticeship program. That's hard to say. For the Kent County ISD. And in that role, she has, over the last year and a half, her team has mentored over 2,300 students, 11th and 12th graders, who are looking at different ways to engage in the technology field. And she makes a very strong case for the fact that one doesn't have to look at a standard college degree as the only way to become involved in technology. And I know this is an issue that we have talked about, the three of us, over the years, that there are all different ways to get into technology and all different ways that would attract both women and men. And Denise has made some strong inroads with this program. So she was our episode 41. And of course, we also talked about her personal career journey, because that's what Diva Tech Talk is all about, right? Trying to show women and girls all the various things that they can do. And then finally, an old friend of mine, Kim Kaminsky, came on. And Kim is now the global chief marketing officer for a company called T-Max Soft. But she's worked at industry giants like Texas Instruments and CA, which was where she and I met. But T-Max Soft is pretty exciting. They're a 20-year-old company that up until a year ago was headquartered out of Korea, and they've now moved their entire global headquarters to the Midwest. They're now headquartered in Chicago. And Kim talked an awful lot about her personal journey and about what T-Max Soft is doing to expand. And then probably for me, the best part of that is she ties it all together in a bow, talking also about her spiritual life and how to maintain balance, which I do believe for many people, not just women, is part of what we all grapple with at various points in our career. So for anybody who is looking for some inspiration, but particularly for girls and women who are looking for other role models in technology, I highly recommend that folks wander over to www.divatechtalk.com and take a look at the last four of our podcasts, which have been done over the last 60 days. And then finally, as a teaser for you guys, this coming Thursday, we have a millennial being interviewed. She looks like a millennial. She's probably on the cusp of millennial and that next generation, Generation X. But her name is Loretta Yakima, and Loretta's story has a lot to do with starting early. She got an internship when she first joined Oakland University as a freshman. She was really, really blessed. She got an internship at Lear and began to work in IT as an 18-year-old, and has kind of pushed her entire career based on the fact that there were apprenticeship programs for her that allowed her to do that and then led her to this internship program. So she was in an apprenticeship program in high school that then led mm-hmm. her to a program in college that allowed her to be an intern at Lear. And then she pushed forward mightily, getting her degree, looking at moving to other parts of the country, and then decided not to become part of the brain drain. She wanted to contribute back to Michigan. So she went over and worked for the CIO of a little company called Pulte Homes and rode Pulte for almost 14 years up and down the curve, making it all the way through the recession. And she talks a lot about the role of IT and the role of technologists in understanding their internal customers. And she shares a lot of great examples on how one must listen to your customer. When you are IT, sitting inside a company, your customer are those other departments, those people building homes, those people selling homes, right? And it's a tremendous thing. So that podcast should be coming out this Thursday or Friday. So we hope people will tune in to Diva Tech Talk very soon. So that's it in terms of my Diva Tech Talk news, unless anybody there has any questions for me. Again,
yeah, I just wanted to go into a little bit about the alternatives to a traditional 4-year college in terms of getting into the IT industry. I mean, what was the woman from Kent County, Denise Mahoney?
Dr. Denise Mahoney.
Yeah,
want to listen in
episode
41. It's a short one, Matt. It's only like the one for Logicalis was 45 minutes because we had four executives and we were interviewing the girls who were there that day. But Denise's is about 20 minutes long. And while she talks a lot about herself, she spends at least 5 minutes on what they've been doing. They got funding through the state. And they literally put together this apprenticeship program and found and target kids, you know, by reaching out to a variety of high schools up there and saying, hey, there are various ways to come and look at doing things that are technical. So the Tech Career Center there, she does spend a lot of time on the episode discussing it, and the various creative ways they're looking to attract those kids. And then the practical things they do for them, you know, they don't just talk about applications and C++ and coding, right? They also talk about things that people of that age need to know. How do you write a resume? How do you brand yourself? How do you even figure out what it is you want to do next and whether technology really is your path? So I highly recommend you and others listen to the episode. It's a short one, so that could be a very quick, short car ride. And don't forget, you can get us on iTunes. You can get us on SoundCloud. You can get us. We're now in the Google Play area. So we can be obtained by just finding, you know, searching on Diva Tech Talk in a variety of different ways.
Well, speaking of short amounts of time, we have about 3 minutes left. But you wanted to talk about upcoming events with the Michigan Council.
Right? MCWT stuff now, right?
Yep.
So Michigan Council of Women in Technology is also equally busy. We just had our CIO breakfast on February 22nd, and the highlight of that was that the female CIO for Dow Chemical gave an inspiring message. Her name is Melanie Kalmar, and her her article about that message is on our Facebook site. So do go to Facebook if you can and look for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology Foundation. And then we have a whole bunch of upcoming programming. Girls Are IT with the University of Detroit begins on March 11th, and you can go to the U of D site to find it. Then, of course, we are going to be having 6 upcoming summer camps for 5th through 8th graders, including 2 camps now in Western Michigan. And those applications to apply for those camps, technology camps for the summer, they're week-long camps, will be on the Michigan Council of Women in Technology website beginning March 1st. And then we have a whole bunch of upcoming major and minor events. We have a ConnectNet, a networking ConnectNet on the 14th, a forum on April 11th with Softura, a forum on May 9th with Cohen, I can't pronounce this, it's a healthcare IT vendor. And then probably the biggest, most exciting thing in the spring is our Executive Connections Summit, which sells out really quickly, is May 31st, where we will have a full roster of sterling speakers. And again, you can go to www.mcwt.org to get information about all of this. And then my last and final thing is the best golf outing of the summer is always the MCWT golf outing, and we sell out our sponsorships fast. So if anybody would like to be a sponsor for our July golf outing, and you get an awful lot out of this, I would strongly suggest they go to Kim Cross, who is our executive director, who can be emailed at kim.cross@mcwt.org. Because, again, there's the value in those sponsorships. You know, every single IT vendor in the world wants to do one.
So. All right. All right. Thanks very much. That's mcwt.org once again, folks. And thank you very much, Kathleen Norton-Schock, for all the great information. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you next month.
Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network and a whole bunch of other places eventually.
And now we have one of the hardest working millennial entrepreneurs that I know, Amanda Luan, co-founder of Bamboo Detroit. I went to your lavish new party that you had with, that was about a month and a half ago, I guess, when you kicked off the new digs downtown at the, which building was that again?
Oh, we're inside the Julian C. Madison building at 1420 Washington Boulevard.
Yeah, I knew Madison was in there somewhere. Okay. And one of the things that caught my attention, I think you announced late last week, that you're now offering, I can do it, starter memberships. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, we just launched a new program called the Starter Membership. We noticed that there's a lot of early stage entrepreneurs in Detroit. And not everybody needs office space. So for our starter membership, you get to have a mail address and mail services, kind of like a remote membership, but you also get the added perks of getting discounts and tickets and access to the community events.
Yeah. And what does that fetch? Is there a starting point or what?
Oh, yep. It's $40 a month, to month for anyone just starting up.
Wow.
So our thought is you really just need to have that professional mail address. And you can benefit from some of the networking and just getting out there and connecting to resources. And that's something that we really try to do heavily at Bamboo.
Okay, yeah. So, how many locations? Tell us a little bit about your various locations, and you know what the membership numbers are like these days for you. I mean, how many
right
people
now,
are you working with?
Right now, we just have our brand new location downtown. We've done some pop ups in the past in other neighborhoods, but we're just at downtown at 1420, which is our sort of like headquarters hub here in Detroit, and looking to hopefully do some other locations in Metro Detroit soon.
How many folks can that accommodate? I know it's a big place, and for your grand opening, I'm not sure how many people are in there, a couple hundred, I think. But typically, what do you have in terms of a head count in there?
Yes, that's a great question. So because co-working is kind of like a gym membership model, you have lots of people sharing one office space, but not everybody's here all the time. Especially the starter memberships, you're really just there to pick up your mail, maybe go to a networking event. Right now, we have almost 160 members. We think we'll probably get up to 200 or 250 over the next year, and then maybe have to cap our downtown location.
Okay, and what kind of businesses are you getting down there? Is it a little bit of everything, or what would be the biggest?
I would say
segment?
There is a little bit of everything in Detroit, right? We have a couple different trends that are always growing. You've got food and technology and social entrepreneurs are kind of like three big trends that I always see happening right now. So inside of Bamboo, we have a gluten-free pasta startup company called Bonza Pasta. Mm-hmm. We have tech teams who are building software and mobile apps. We have creatives and consultants. So it's definitely a little bit of everything. But I think that's reflected to Detroit right now. It's kind of good that we don't have all our eggs in one basket, and that we have kind of these new startups popping up in all different areas.
Yeah, especially the agriculture industry. I find fascinating that there's actually still room for startups in the food business, because you think about
there's a lot.
It's food
really
processing companies.
Not so much I think in Detroit, we have a little bit of an urban ag movement and different kinds of food startups. Like you'll see McClure's Pickles or Bonza or Ellis Island Tea. So we have some traction going. It's really cool.
Now, in terms of age groups, is it mostly younger people, or is that also a wide assortment?
What he's really asking are there geezers like us
really
in there?
Anybody, and we have entrepreneurs at all ages. Now, in our new location downtown, we have a lot of private offices. We do have more established entrepreneurs who have sold their companies and are now mentoring and giving back. I think people think it's for young people because most young people do work with technology a lot, but it's for anyone at any age. And if you can work off a laptop, you can get a lot from just being in a shared office environment where you can plug in and be around people.
So do you have any hot events coming up that you want to plug? We'll hit the bell there for you,
That is a great question. Next week we have a mindful motivation session. So for people who are in that sort of starter category and you have an idea. Sometimes it's really hard to go from idea to concept. So we have early stage programming like that happening next week. We have a lot of workshops coming up, like a lean marketing workshop and a design thinking workshop. So all different kinds of stuff to really help people learn as they're growing and on their path.
So what kind of attendance do you get for these gatherings, these meetups?
Well, it can be anything from 10 or 15 people to 30, 40, 50. We had a really big grand opening. We had like 600 or 700 people came out for the grand opening, which is really exciting to see. I think Detroit is a small community, but we're growing, and it's always awesome to see more and more people getting involved in the startup community.
Also, why don't you talk a little bit about what's, besides providing mail and a place to sit down, I'm sure you provide other services. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Right. So our starter membership is just the beginning. If you have that idea and you just need a mail address and access to the community and the resources, that's the one we talked about at $40 a month. And then the next level would be for folks who actually need to meet in the conference rooms, use the office space. That starts at $125 a month. That's our open co-working membership. And then we have dedicated desks. So they're about $300 to $350. So those are good for individuals who are ready for their own desk or maybe small teams. And then we do have private offices that start at $800 and vary in size and number of team members. All the offices are leased up for the next 6 months, but you never know. We always have openings every once in a while, and we've got a really great culture of support and creativity here that I think draws people in.
Well, if you're full up, are you looking once again in other locations? Are you thinking about that, or is there enough slack in other people?
I mean, we're always open to opportunities. It just has to be the right area, and we're always looking for people who want to help us build the community and lead there.
Well, Matt's thinking you
otherwise,
should.
Otherwise, you know, if you just open up your doors anywhere, it's office space. It's not as beneficial.
Sure.
Matt's thinking you should set one up in Southfield because he happens to be connected with his technical college out there. And it might be a good relationship.
Actually, we have an incubator on Lawrence Tech's campus. It's new. You can hit the bell there if you want.
Yep.
It's called the LTU Collaboratory. So we have something going with the city of Southfield and the Smart Zone out there. But there's always room for more, and we're seeing strong interest in that too. I mean, the amount of people involved these days in entrepreneurship and business formation is staggering. It really is. I mean, there's just a ton of that going on these days. Some of it's tech, some of it's not.
I think it's really important. I feel like we're still rebuilding from the recession and always trying to reinvent ourselves, especially in our region, from shifting from, you know, the old manufacturing jobs to just new ways that we can use technology.
And
that's where entrepreneurship comes in, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And downtown has become a thriving place to live. I know you live downtown. Why don't you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, I live about 5 minutes away from Bamboo. Bamboo is right downtown on Washington Boulevard. We're just a block from Woodward and Campus Martius Park. So it's always, even right now outside our window, we can see the book building over here being redeveloped and cleaned up. And that was one of the largest empty buildings downtown. And I believe it's now going to be a mixed use development. There's new restaurants opening up every weekend. So it's just really exciting. I think we're still in the early stages. We need more jobs, more people, but it definitely seems like there's momentum built up, and I think it's all heading in the right direction.
Well, I remember reading in the Free Press last weekend that there was a bunch of new housing opening up downtown, too, all at the same time. And housing has been
lots
at a premium.
Of apartments, yeah.
Yeah.
Expensive, though.
Yeah, it's not cheap. Yeah, but at least there's some availability now. I mean, there was a time like 6 or 8 or 10 months ago when it was just hard to find any place downtown. And now you're seeing a lot of these adaptive reuse projects of old office buildings that are being turned into housing. So, and that's wonderful to see because downtown Detroit never really had, you know, high density housing like a New York or a Chicago. This is something brand new. It's cool to see.
Well, it's not brand new. I mean, back after World War II.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, way back when, you know, so.
Yeah, suffice it to say, nobody living down there now was probably around back then.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
So,
because it is mostly a young people's area.
Well,
so.
You never know.
And the other thing, though, that I think was, at least for me, a bit of a challenge when I came to your open house. Now, granted, you had a million people there, but is parking. Do you have any kind of deal worked out with any of the parking structures?
Yeah, there's definitely lots of parking structures in the area. It's really not so scary. We're just very used to driving everywhere in Metro Detroit. Once you get downtown and kind of know where to park, it's super, super easy. There's tons of street parking where we're located. There's casinos and parking lots. So we create a parking map just to make it super easy for new people coming in.
Yeah. Okay.
And the M1 rail should be turning on here, I think, this spring. I think the grand opening is coming up in a few months. So that should be helpful to you. You could just park farther away and hop on the M1 rail and take it down.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that because it's essentially, I mean, it's a streetcar, right? Basically.
Named Desire, right?
But yes, well, yes. Always depended on the kindness of strangers or something like that. But it's, you know, you could have a bus doing the same thing. I don't know what it is about people that makes it, because it's on a rail track, they just think it's cooler, I guess, or something, or more likely to take
it. San Francisco or something.
Yeah,
right?
I don't, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I'm glad it's there, and I hope they extend it out further, and I hope they extend it out on more of the streets around here, too, because we've got this weird hub and spoke system from downtown where that's, you know, downtown is partially grid, partially hub and spoke, and part of it is on an angle following the river. So the street system's a nightmare, but it would be cool. I mean, more mass transit's always a good thing, and I think it's going to really help the downtown area. So All right. So if people want more information on all of your programs and what you're offering, Amanda, where do they go?
Everything is on our website, bambudetroit.com. We've got a super easy application, just a few quick questions that we can find out what it is you're interested in. We do have starter memberships available right now to folks who are interested, and that, again, starts at $40 a month. The rest can be found online at bambudetroit.com.
Hey, are you going to be doing any more pop-up experiments? I know you had one on the east side. Is that now over with or not?
Yeah. That one was all wrapped up. That was for a few months, right before the holidays. And we're definitely looking at other locations to pop up in, test out, and kind of see where we should go next. Wow. So anyone who's interested in that can just reach out to us, again, from our website, or just email me directly, Amanda, at bambudetroit.com. And we're happy to explore any opportunities.
Okay, and one more time, we got about 2 minutes left. What's your hot event coming up? One more time, I know we talked about it earlier, but you got a couple coming up here in the spring. What would those be again?
Oh, yeah. I would say for those who are just getting started, who have an idea and aren't really sure what to do next, check out our Mindful Motivation class that we have next week. It really helps you think through your goals and kind of take those first steps forward from going from idea to business. And then we have a couple workshops coming up. We have a lean marketing workshop. So, you know, often we practice the lean startup culture here at Bamboo. Like, you start with your idea, get some feedback, and get going. Often you have limited resources if you're bootstrapping. So it's really, really good to pick up extra tactics and tools from others so that you can make the most of your time and your resources and get going. So all of that's on our website, too, and on our social media. All of our events are open for anyone to come to. Members get free tickets and discounts, even the starter members. And we hope to see you guys there.
Okay. Sounds great. Amanda Lawan, co-founder of BambooDetroit.com. So named, I guess, because bamboo is very fast growing, right?
And strong.
And hopefully you are, too.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Amanda. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to the M-Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit.com network, the only podcast you're listening to right now, unless you're listening to more than one at once, which
multitasking.
I guess is possible, but would be confusing. All right, so we have with us now Keith Brophy, who is a director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center. And Keith has a regular segment here on the M-Squared TechCast where he actually interviews a guest who is a client or someone connected with the Small Business Development Center who has used its services or is somehow linked to it. Keith, why don't you go ahead and take over and interview your guest, introduce your guest here.
Thank you, Matt, and I'm glad to be with you today, and particularly excited to introduce our guest of the day, Dr. Brent Nowak, who is the Executive Director of the Applied Medical Device Institute at GVSU. So welcome, Brent.
Thanks, Keith. It's good to be here.
Well, we're excited to hear some of your background on AMDI and an overview of the mission. But among other things, I know right on your webpage, you talk about moving an idea through the valley of death. So can you tell us a little bit about the AMDI mission and how you move ideas through the valley of death and beyond to success?
Sure. Well, AMDI is an acronym for the Applied Medical Device Institute. And our logo, we have a small A intentionally to emphasize we're very applied. Now, AMDI is a non-academic unit, of Grand Valley State University. So what we do is we take ideas, prototypes, any stage along the development someone has about a medical device, and we really just try to answer a couple questions. One of them around technical feasibility and the other around business viability. That's what we do in a nutshell.
Right. And, you know, your concept of moving things past the idea stage is an interesting one. I wondered if you could share with us, what are some of the obstacles that ideas in this realm face as researchers move them forward or innovators move them forward?
Yes, yeah, it's kind of neat. You know, medical device community is a very unique one in the sense that, you know, it touches the human body. So the barriers that you have to address are very different than you would from other inventions, especially, you know, in the commercial market. We have to not harm people. So your medical device has to work, and it's very challenging. And we're very lucky in the United States, anyways, to have this organization that monitors that. You know, you can't, anything that touches the human body can't injure it. It can't be toxic. It has to be sterilized. And as a patient, I love the FDA, because you don't want anything getting in your body or touching you that's going to harm you in any way. But now, as a medical device innovator, it is extremely challenging. You know, we have very precise requirements that we have to adhere to around toxicity and sterilization and packaging and shipping and what's the normal use for the product, what the indicators and the counterindicators. These all have to go on the package because you can't use these things for the device they're not designed for. So beyond the normal, you know, engineering requirements, you have all these FDA requirements that are amazing and challenging, but it makes it all work.
And who do you target with your services at AMDI? Is it innovators or individual inventors, local entrepreneurs, corporate OEMs, some mixture of all of those?
Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, because I want to emphasize we are part of Grand Valley State University, so we adhere to the mission of the university, and that is teaching and giving students, you know, enhanced learning experiences and engaging our faculty. The other folks that you talked about engaging the community, whether you're an OEM or whether you're just, you know, an inventor that has your own ideas, we provide services to all of those individuals or all those organizations. So you could be, let's say, a small contract manufacturer, and you're out there manufacturing springs for the automotive industry. But you know, your springs, you look at those, you say, you know what, I was in the doctor's office, and I could use that in a syringe. How do I get this into the medical device industry? So AMDI could provide a service, almost like your external research and development arm, or your external business case. We'll study the business and regulatory challenges you might face. And how do we do that, Keith? Well, we reach out to our colleagues in the School of Business or Statistics or Physical Therapy or Nursing. So we can tap the academic resources that we have here, and we pull in students and faculty where they can do research projects for your company. So that's one example. Does that make sense?
And it sure does. And I wondered if you have a specific healthcare provider you work with, or do you work with multiple healthcare providers in the region?
I'm glad you asked that. So first of all, we are located in West Michigan, of course, but out here, in Grand Rapids, but we really service everybody across the state. And while we are a Grand Valley entity, we're working right now with folks at Michigan Tech to put together a collaborative program and maybe bring some of their technologies down to West Michigan. We've written proposals with folks at the University of Michigan to pursue some DOD grants where Grand Valley State and AMDI would work on the manufacturing and the automation of this process that they are interested in. So we are working with a number of healthcare providers. Spectrum's one of them, Mary Freebed. We visited folks at McLaren. We're not locked in. I mean, we don't just work with only one healthcare provider or one manufacturer, so to speak.
I know in this type of work, you connect with a lot of partners in the ecosystem, and the Small Business Development Center is pleased to be one of the partners that worked with AMDI. I wanted to ask you about measuring the impact you have on the entrepreneurial success of the state, particularly in the medical device area. You know, how do you measure whether you've moved the dial over the several years to come. Do you have specific goals or metrics you're targeting, or just kind of gauge it off of the activity level of the entrepreneurs that reach out to you?
Well, the way we best work, Keith, as you know, is we best work by engaging organizations like the Small Business Development Corporation that you serve. We also work with local smart zones. We're working with the Michigan Economic Development Commission. They have a number of different funding vehicles that when inventors, whether you're an individual inventor, you're a small company, you're a nurse, a doctor, a student, we are aware of some of these funding vehicles in which we can help you tap into. Now, we don't necessarily track metrics. That's not our metric of success. I'm using the word twice, but that's not what we use here in our organization. We're really here to provide a service and benefit students and faculty and corporations across the city, across the state.
And going back to your information about working with entrepreneurs and ideas and moving them through, as I mentioned at the outset, the valley of death for an idea where it can get bogged down or move forward. And you lay out in your information how you can take that and support that all the way through launch, growth, and maturity. Of what stage should a business, a innovator, entrepreneur with an idea reach out to you? Do you prefer to get at the raw idea stage? Do you work with businesses once they're already launched and at the growth stage? Where's your sweet spot?
Well, that's interesting. You know, we had a hairdresser that was working on a technical challenge that had to do with saliva control. And she came to us, and we worked with her briefly in helping to develop that to a prototype. She had some early ideas and solutions, and we advanced that technology a little bit further along the line. We had a local stay-at-home dad. He's raising two kids, and he had an idea for a technical app on that we're helping him to develop. In the same breath, we're working with folks here at Spectrum, where we're working on a remote surgical robot project with an internationally recognized interventional cardiologist here at AMDI. So, you know, we work on a broad spectrum. Oh, here's another one. We have another project with a local manufacturer here at Surge Cardiovascular where they're looking at cannulas for heart bypass surgery. So they came to us with a technical challenge on a product that they were investigating. So, you know, Keith, we touch on the whole range, you know, from a napkin sketch all the way out to a working prototype that people want to advance.
Dr. Nowak, this is Matt Rausch, one of the co-hosts of the show. I just wanted to pop in and ask one question here. The cardiac robot that you're working with, is that an improvement on an existing design or an entirely new product or a sort of a technique? What's the nature of that project?
Oh, good question, Matt, and thanks for having us on. Hey, it is an existing robot that is designed, developed on the East Coast, and they have them in the Spectrum Heart and Vascular Institute over here in Grand Rapids. It's called a Corindus robot. And so what we're doing is Dr. Mader has done more interventional cardiology surgeries with this robot that I understand than anyone else in the world. And what he wants to do is cut the cable. So if there's a snowstorm in Ludington and someone's having a need of his kind of surgery, the robot will be up in Ludington and he can do the surgery from here. So what we're investigating is creating a novel solution on how to adapt for the technical challenges of having that kind of communication distance in those kind of conditions in a safe way.
Very cool. Keith, back to you.
And Brent, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to share with the audience, how does somebody find you if they want to reach out and connect? What's their best way to track you down?
Well, besides going straight through the SBDC, another way to get through us is our website. It's at Grand Valley website /AMDI for Applied Medical Device Institute. And my phone number's out there and the email is down there as well. Or you can email me directly at noacbr@gvsu.edu.
And do you see the financing picture for ideas in this space is a strong climate in Michigan, moderate? What are the prospects for a good idea that gets some traction, that moves further along the line, working with you and your team, and then they get to the point where they need to seek investor funding? How would you describe the prospects to a typical business you work with?
Well, Keith, that's a good question. Let me spin that a little bit differently. Our role here at AMDI is, again, get back to those two questions, technical feasibility and business viability. So the amount of funding that it takes to get some of those questions answered sometimes are not that significant. And, I'm not going to quote a number over the phone or anything like that because every case is different. Now, to get some of those questions answered by an organization like AMDI, there's a number of vehicles that are available out there to do that. And I feel like, it's something where the state is being very active in, and they're reaching out constantly and trying to find and tap into all those resources. And so I would say the answer is it's a strong environment, and you just need somebody like the SBDC or AMDI or something to help you walk through that journey, because you want to fail early and fail often in this space, because you can invest a whole lot of money in med devices and spend, sometimes a decade before you can bring a product to market. So it's not a journey that is for the lighthearted. You want to make sure that it's been thoroughly vetted, and that, that's one of the services that we provide here.
Okay, Keith, we're down a little bit under 2 minutes here, so if you want to ask one more question, feel free.
And I would wrap with asking you, what is the biggest takeaway you want people to remember about AMDI, Brent?
Wow, what a great question. I guess is that we're available. We are part of an academic institution, but we're a non-academic unit. We're proud to be, to wear the Grand Valley Laker blue, but we're available across the state and, all across the nation. As a matter of fact, we have some contractual relationships with something called a CRADA. I know we only have a few minutes, so I'll be quick. Even with the U.S. Army Institute of Surgical Research in San Antonio, Texas. So, we reached out to the East Coast and some DOD grants, and I just want to make sure we're available, and we're here to provide a service to the community as well as serve, the GVSU students and faculty. But I just want to thank everybody for the opportunity to share our message.
All right. Thanks very much, Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center, and Brent Novak, PhD, the Executive Director of the Applied Medical Device Institute at Grand Valley State University. Also want to thank the rest of our guests, Bamboo Detroit co-founder Amanda Luan, our longtime friend Kathleen Norton-Schock of Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, and Vinny Novacek, General Sales Manager for Ziegler Auto Group in Granville, talking about some very fun high-tech cars. This is a fun show, Mike.
Well, we do our best,
Okay, so. Well, and I want to make sure people find that video of your test drive in that Alfa Romeo. That sounds really cool. Where would they find that?
I don't know if I've posted it yet, but if there's a demand, I will. So mostly to
I
see
demand it.
A terrified look on my face, So.
Okay, well, that certainly looks like fun.
Yes.
All right, well, okay. Yeah, we're wrapping up another episode of the M Squared TechCast here. I want to thank you for listening and remind you that you can find us at the iTunes Store and on SoundCloud and other places.
Also, MI Tech News as well.
MITechNews.com, PodcastDetroit.com. So listen early, listen often, tell your friends. We'll be back next week with another fun filled hour of Michigan technology news. For right now, this is Matt Rausch
and Mike Brennan,
and you've been listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M-Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.